Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
Man, oh man, is my back sore today. I not only helped Sheldon Keefe, but Brendan Shanahan pack boxes and move stuff out of their house on Sunday. It was not easy, let me tell you. And they got a lot more to go. They should probably just have on retainer, like a lawyer, a moving company. Just ready to go at any time because, as we know in sports, nothing is forever. It's the saying, you get hired to get fired. And
right.
It looks like if they somehow escape this, if they are somehow able to sell it to the president and others making these decisions that, hey, look, you know, we had injuries. It wasn't really our fault. The team is built to win. It just didn't go our way this time. But you can't keep saying that a decade later.
Tough to say that now. You know, they weren't built to win. Yes, you weren't the favorite going into that series. Mm. But why weren't you is kind of the question mark, especially when it comes to the builders of the team, the right. ones who constructed. Now, I mean, it's 1 year for Brad Treliving. It's a new regime for him. Brand new president of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, Keith Pelley, and he's been around the block before. So will he be interested in making some changes? The key is this is 10 years now for Brendan Shanahan, and he came in with the Shanna plan, remember, brought in Mike Babcock and was going to make these changes. He brought in Kyle Dubas, and he was changing the regime. Things were going to be different. You know, the problem is, you know, in terms of getting past the first round, the last 8 years, they've done it once. And that's been a very difficult pill to swallow for Maple Leafs fans. You know, we know what happens. You put all your faith into four players up front. Two of them missed time during this playoff series. One in terms of Mitch Marner was invisible. John Tavares, not that bad. You know, in terms of the captain leading, he set up the overtime winner, by Nylander. And so he had a decent series, but he's getting older as well.
Right, right.
Fans are putting a lot of angst.
The fans.
Yeah. Sort of. There's a generation that that's still around.
I was one.
Yeah. A lot of the angst is being put on Mitch Marner when it comes to the players, because, you know, he seemed to disappear at times during that playoff stretch and wasn't the impact player. He was going in with an injury, and that's a high ankle sprain, which is tough to play with, and a long recovery for injuries. But, you know, the hockey history is full of lore of players playing with broken bones and significant injuries and playing through the pain to win Stanley Cups. If the Leafs couldn't seem to do it to get through round one, I don't know if we'll find out the full details of what the injuries were. Joseph Woll likely was a groin or hip injury that he injured in the last dying seconds of game six. And that's why he couldn't go. It was a last minute thing for game seven. Auston Matthews, whatever that flu / illness, whatever it was, or was it a concussion, whatnot, maybe we'll find out. William Nylander, that same kind of flu bug, at least he was able to return and be an impact player later in the series. But, you know, the Sheldon Keefe thing is a very interesting one, along with Brendan Shanahan. When it comes to the management of the team, this was not the pick of the general manager, right? Sheldon Keefe was signed before that, of course. He was here first. But, you know, a lot of people weren't talking about it. My take on that overtime loss, or that loss on Saturday night, was frankly, third period of game seven. The Leafs get the lead halfway through, 9 minutes in, you get the lead in the third period. With less than 10 minutes to play, the fourth line is on. They get scored on. It was their last shift of the game. It's the last time the Leafs led that series. That decision is a coaching decision. And to me, I don't know why that fourth line is on in that situation. You don't have last change. Most teams, unless there's something going on in that bench, most teams park their fourth line. The Leafs didn't. And that's probably something in hindsight they obviously will regret.
I I like the rumors that Austin Matthews was sleeping with everybody's wife or girlfriend. That was my favorite. That's always the go-to excuse a lot of times. Oh, did you hear that he's not playing because he's got sleeping with someone?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I had an interesting situation yesterday where, my youngest, we were visiting him at his condo downtown, and his girlfriend was there with her brother. And very nice, but they're very young. They're in their 20s, and hockey isn't their go-to for sport. Mm-hmm. So they were talking about having watched the game because of the playoffs and how, wow, it's really violent, like all the pushing and shoving. And I go, yeah, but they don't really ever drop the gloves during playoffs. It's right. A lot of pushing and shoving. I said, you don't know that may seem violent to you now. It was World War III on that ice back in the, 90s, 80s, and certainly the 70s. And so I said, okay, hold the phone. David, on your TV, Wendell Clark, all heart right now. And they were like, they watched it three times in a row. They were just like, this really went on?
Yeah.
They're like, did they speed up the film? Is he punching that fast?
That Wendell Clark with Metallica. Yeah.
Hero of the day.
Hero of the day in behind. It's such a good video.
If I was a hockey player, I would watch that before every game.
Yeah.
Full volume.
Oh yeah.
Anyhow,
I've shown that to my kids too, who are still playing hockey and just getting into hitting, and they're looking like, I think it makes them more afraid of the sport than anything else.
Just hammering guys. I love to, and I don't know if it's in the video, but there was a highlight years ago where he took a penalty for beating a guy's brains in, and then he's in the box. And he comes out and he skates right up to the guy and beats him up again. So, Wendell forever, baby. All heart, Clark.
Well, and listen, this is one of the biggest complaints about Leaf fans with this team.
Yeah.
It's a lack of heart.
Yeah. They're certainly missing. So if you get called in, they call you, they say, Lucky, listen, we heard you on the air. We heard you talking about us.
Right.
We need your expertise. What do you think, if you had to go and say, here's the pros, here's the cons, here's the weaknesses, here's the strength, this is what we need to work on, here's who has to maybe go, where would you start?
I'd start in net.
Yeah.
I think Joseph Woll has proven himself to be a reliable goaltender, and I would give him a shot going forward.
To be the starter?
To be the starter.
Okay.
And you've got three goaltenders behind him. Samsonov, you still have Matt Martin on the books. Not Matt Martin. You get
Mike Palmatier.
Matt Murray on the books. And not Mike Palmatier, thankfully. Bring him back. Where's Bessner now?
He's strong.
And Martin Jones is on the list, too. So I think you've got to decide on your goaltender being Joseph Woll going forward and save some money elsewhere. You're looking at buying out contracts. I am not one on the trade Mitch Marner right away. That I think is an overreaction by Leaf fans, and one you will regret when he's lighting it up somewhere else.
Yep.
He's a dynamic player.
Zach Hyman's a good example.
And there are numerous examples of the Leafs giving up on players before they go off and do better things. Mm-hmm. By the way, interesting little storyline coming out of this series is Jeremy Swayman versus the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Boston goaltender. When he was drafted, was it 2020 or whatever? When he was drafted that fourth round, he was of the opinion that he was going to the Toronto Maple Leafs. He had great meetings with them. He was fully expecting to become a Toronto Maple Leaf. Mm. And when the Leafs picked in that fourth round, they said the Maple Leafs were proud to select goaltender Ian Scott. The next pick after that was the Boston Bruins. They took Jeremy Swayman.
And where's Ian Scott now?
He's probably watching Jeremy Swayman in the second round.
Listen, it's a shame. Now, would you get rid of Keefe?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think faith is lost in Sheldon Keefe in terms of running this team. Nice guy, good hockey mind, but, he had his chance and he's had his chance to get to the second round. Hasn't worked out. Injuries or whatever, be it as they may, but I go back to, with a lead in the third period of game 7, the fourth line out on the road.
Well, listen, people, you think that Sheldon Keefe or Brendan Shanahan has it rough right now. I had to do cart path only golf on Saturday. Think of the hell my life is. on Netflix, the Tom Brady roast went down. This thing was 3 hours long.
3 hours?
Yeah. I'm hoping to watch some of it today, but I don't know with a lot of the football guys up there doing their football sense of humor. I don't know how much of it I can take.
Well, but like Peyton Manning and Bill Belichick were part of it, right?
Yeah, and they say Bill Belichick was terrific, and there was lots of shots. They tell it was crazy. Gisele Bündchen took a bunch of jokes about her, certainly her having sex with her jiu-jitsu instructor.
Right.
Tom abandoning the kids to play football, cheating scandals, on and on and on. It went. Here's some highlights. This is Peyton Manning.
It is great to be here with a bunch of people sitting around talking smack about Tom Brady. Or as we call that in the Manning family, Thanksgiving. One thing that Tom and I definitely have in common, though, is our love of the game of golf. And listen, not to brag, we're both pretty good players. My handicap is a 6.4, while Tom's handicap is blowing leads in the Super Bowl to my brother Eli. The last time Tom Brady had to wait this long to get on stage, it was the 2000 NFL draft.
And then, of course, so he gets the opportunity, Tom Brady does, to respond.
Right, yeah.
And so here is, why won't that go away? Stop. Okay, let me hit that button. Now let me hit that. All right, I'll figure this out at some point.
Okay.
Take that off. All right, here's Brady riffing on Peyton Manning.
Peyton, I know sometimes you live in Denver and sometimes you live in Louisiana, but you'll always live in my shadow. When I heard there was a slow white Bronco heading down the 405 to come here tonight, I thought we might actually see a real football legend.
That's a good line.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. I'll give that one to Brady.
Obviously recorded a little while ago.
Yeah. No, I will give that one to him for sure. All right. And then they say, and you don't expect this, of Bill Belichick, but they say he killed
Ron Burgundy, the only member of the media I respect. You know, the fellas invited me up here to lighten up the mood a little bit tonight. A lot of mean things being said about Tom tonight. I wonder why they invited me. Really, Tom, why are all these people so hard on you? Do you miss me? A lot of people connected me with a saying called, do your job, and telling people to do their job. And Gronk, I've been watching you on Fox NFL Sunday, and I'm begging you, please, stop doing your job. But believe it or not, I've got a lot of nice things to say about Tom, but I'm running out of time here. See your soccer team, Birmingham City, got knocked down to another tier in the English Football League, so they suck. Not so easy running a team, is it, Tom?
So, yeah, for a man who, like, rarely speaks.
Right, yeah.
You know, that was actually, I'll give him that.
Showed some life there, Bill.
Yeah, and then, of course, Mr. Brady goes after Mr. Belichick.
And now, for the real reason y'all here, Coach Bill Belichick. I've been out of the game for a minute, so I'm curious. How many Super Bowl rings have you won since I left? Maybe it's not just the guy on the sideline. When I go to the Indy 500, I don't ask the winning driver, hey, who gassed up your car?
And then every now and then, I guess there was a rumor, I don't remember this rumor, but I guess there was a rumor that Kim Kardashian and Tom Brady were hooking up.
Oh.
So she was there, and it doesn't go well for her at first.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Well, thank you. I know a lot of people make fun of your height. Speaking of Tom and I dating, I know there were some rumors that we were, and I'd never say if we did or not. I just released the tape. But I do know it would never work out. An ex-athlete, high cheekbones, silky hair. You remind me too much of my stepdad now. Part of me thinks you would want to undress me just to try on my clothes. Honestly, it's hard for me to watch people roast you, but I think enough of my family members have helped defend former football players.
Yeah, the OJ jokes work out perfectly considering he just died, so that's really good. And then, of course, well, then Tom gets his chance to take a shot at Kim Kardashian. And I gotta hit this button first, and there we go.
Kim Kardashian, thank you so much for being here. I know Kim was terrified to be here tonight, not because of this, but because her kids are home with their dad.
All right, and it all went well. You know, everybody was having fun, and when you sign up for these things, it's part of the deal. You gotta accept things are gonna be said that maybe make you cringe or you don't wanna hear, but leave it up to baby Brady.
Oh.
Baby Brady, he gets upset with Jeff Ross.
So Tom became a Patriot, moved up to New England, and on the first day of training camp, that scrawny rookie famously walked into the owner Robert Kraft's office and said, "I'm the best decision your organization has ever made." Would you like a massage? I love Robert Kraft.
Don't say that again.
Okay. He's having fun. Look at him.
So he actually got out of his chair, really? Walked over and said, he whispered it, "Don't do that again."
I don't know if, I mean, there's, in all of the roasts, and there have been a lot of them,
yeah,
and they go hard.
Sure they do.
At both most everyone's getting up to roast the roaster of honor, I guess, a person of honor. But then they go hard at everyone up on the dais or mm-hmm. stage. I would imagine, like, they're prepared to just be, if you're going onto that set, you know, you're getting roasted.
You know, the deal.
I guess maybe he had a thing like, don't talk about Robert Kraft. They're good friends. And
yeah, you can make fun of my ex-wife.
Yeah.
And my kids.
Well, I mean, I guess he doesn't care if he makes fun of the ex-wife.
I guess not, but I don't know. I still think no, boohoo to you, because Robert right. Kraft's a big boy. He yeah. can defend himself and everybody else that's ever been up there. Look at how they went after Bruce Willis and his daughters.
Yeah. No, I'm not defending him for it. I can, but I'm just wondering if that's the reason. Like he said, that don't go here kind of line or something.
The only problem for me is, and again, with all the jocks that are there, yeah, it's fine, but it's just so, most of the jokes are so lame. You're in my shadow.
Yeah.
All the times you lost against my brother. That might, I might be doing some fast forwarding through the watching of the roast. You know, it ain't easy being out on the dating scene, and it certainly ain't easy being a woman out on the dating scene. And a lot of men don't realize how many actual groin picks single women have to deal with when they're online dating.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's a woman who's an author who likes to troll online scammers. She just published a book about romance scams called Keanu Reeves Is Not in Love with You. She also likes trolling creepy dudes who sent her unsolicited photos of their junk. And recently she got a DM from some dude, a picture of his junk. It was her birthday, and he had stuck his tool through a happy birthday sign.
Oh, my goodness.
But instead of blocking him, she made him think he had a serious illness. She sent back a zoomed-in shot of a red mark on his stomach, lied and said she had a degree in dermatology and told him it looked concerning. They had a long back and forth. He said things like, "Well, it doesn't even itch." And she told him that's even more concerning. She also said it's going to be a real difficult few months for you.
Right.
He eventually replied back and said he had shown the picture to his cousin, who didn't see anything alarming, but he added, "She's not an expert like you."
Right.
The whole exchange happened a while back, and she reposted it after the same guy sent her another junk shot. This time she tried to convince him he had contacted the bubonic plague, but he was more skeptical this time, and he said he'd look into it just in case. Dudes, women don't want pictures of your junk. They just don't.
It's the worst asset to show, really.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the last thing you want to be throwing out there early, but some dudes think, like, it's, I guess it goes back to whistling past construction sites, right? Like
it's a huge leap.
Yes, a huge leap from it, but it's still the same mentality.
Yeah.
Of just like anything to get their attention.
Dudes, think she is somebody's sister. Would you appreciate if some guy was sending dick pics to your sister or to your mom?
Right.
Well, to your mom's fine. From what I hear, she likes him. It is heading in towards wedding season. And with that, if you're invited, you got to decide, am I just giving cash or am I buying a gift? Some people will rely on the registry. Some people will strike it out on their own. And especially if you're fairly close to one of the people getting married or both parties, then maybe you have some insight into their likes and dislikes. And so you don't really need to work off the list and the registry. I've always just thought cash is king.
Right. Because
then they can do whatever the hell they want with it.
True. Has that gone up, you think, the inflation?
Oh, I think it has to. And we haven't been invited to a wedding in a very long time. I don't know why. Maybe it's me. But for the longest time, we were like $100 each. Like, right. It was just Maria and I going.
That was the pay for your plate.
Yeah.
You and your guests.
Yeah.
Right.
That would cover the cost of the plate.
Average plate at that point in time for years was probably around $100.
Well, it was probably less because then you're talking like 90s.
Right.
So
with the booze and stuff.
Yeah. I guess the plates usually were like $65 or $70. And then, you know, the rest were the drinks. Anyhow, yes, I'm sure that's gone up. I'm sure you've got to drop down at least 200 each these days, or maybe more. I don't know. Again, it's however close you are to the person, right?
Yes.
The more you give. And some people like to just go with odd, weird wedding gifts. Somebody said when they got married, they got a copy of Windows 95. They were married in 2010. That's great.
Oh, man.
A decorative wall fan made out of plastic forks, lace, and ribbon.
Okay. Well, that took effort.
I guess so, yeah.
Put some time and thought into that.
A 2-foot-tall ceramic statue of a cobra with ruby eyes.
Wow.
A big box of soap. That's your wedding gift. Dove soap, to be exact.
That's Costco.
Yeah, that's a Costco run. This is a great gift because the gift giver knew exactly what they were doing. They bought the new couple a hot dog toaster. Now, the couple later got divorced, but then got back together and remarried. And for the second wedding, the same person bought them a hot dog toaster. They did it on purpose because they thought it was funny. Now, Maria and I came up with something that we think is brilliant, but we didn't come up with it. Someone gave it to us. When we got married, we got a card. And you know, when you get married, if you have a lot of people, a lot of wedding cards, you open up, they all kind of say the same thing, wish you the best, the years of happiness and health, blah, blah, blah. And then there's the money. This one guy, friend of mine, gave us a funeral card or a in remembrance card.
Oh,
but you gotta buy the perfectly written one, like, in this very troubling time, as you suffer through this grief, you know, and you're so shocked by it. Like, it catches you off guard. It was so funny. And
right.
My buddy, he's a very funny guy. And so we've done it a few times, but again, you've got to really get the right card and you've got to get the right couple.
Mm.
You've got to get a couple who have a sense of humor about themselves.
You got to know both of them. If you don't know both of them.
Yeah.
Then if you don't know the spouse, then that's tough.
Yeah. And you've got a, you know, if you got a bridezilla on your hands or you got a groom who's ultra sensitive, then it won't fly. And I, when we were working, when I was at another station, we went to a staff member's wedding and I knew the bride very well and she was very funny, great sense of humor. And I had met her fiance a few times and he seemed to like beer and have a good time, so I said to Maria, this is the couple, this
right
be good.
Yeah.
And later I heard back from her that he was a bit offended.
Oh really?
Yeah. And I'm like, why? Like, it's a joke.
Yeah. Well,
it's relax, people.
Not everyone's taking jokes at that point. I had a friend who's getting married and they had asked for, you know, they had registered at a couple of places, but one of the things they'd asked for was like Canadian Tire gift cards or whatever. And I tried to go to Canadian Tire to get cash in Canadian Tire money.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to give them basically just a briefcase full of those like 5 cent bills from Canadian Tire.
That's
just figured to be stacks of it.
Yeah. We've gotten into the habit of just going to the bank, and however much money we're giving, we'll get it in fives.
Right.
Which is fun.
So it looks like stacks.
Yeah, it looks like stacks and stacks.
Good way to go about it, I think.
Yeah. A salad shooter, which is basically
a shooter.
It's an electric slicer, I guess. Even better, it was a re-gift and it had a note inside for the original recipient.
You can't re-gift it. That's so top.
No.
Let me ask you something as we're on the topic here of wedding registries and gifts.
Yeah.
I don't believe I've been to a second wedding. Mm. But we're of the age now.
Could happen.
That if we're getting invited to a wedding, there's a good chance that it's a second wedding. Are you given the same amount? I would not be attending a Jack and Jill for a second wedding if I paid for the first one.
I guess it depends on who it is again,
right.
How close they are to you.
Uh-huh.
And is it fair? So say it's a cousin of yours and he's remarrying and you and him have been close. Is it unfair to his new bride that she pays the price because he was married before?
Uh-huh. He probably needs the help even more.
Yeah. The ex-wife has it.
He lost half the stuff you gave him before.
Yeah. That's the old great Rod Stewart line. I'm never going to get married again. I'm just going to find a woman who hates me and buy her a house. So great. Yeah, I think you got to step up and give the same amount.
Oh, man.
I think so.
Third weddings? Do you draw a line?
I don't know. Again, it all depends, I think.
Right.
If it was just a casual, like somebody in the office.
Yeah.
Like not somebody I was close, just in passing, I know them. Probably by the third go around, I wouldn't bother.
Yeah. 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 I mean, if you're friends with Liz Taylor and she's going down 8 times.
Yeah.
Gets a bit much.
But if you're her sister, you gotta kinda show up.
Again?
Yeah. Someone else got a salad shooter from a close friend, and they said they were bummed because it was just a cheap plastic appliance, so they never really opened it. And then 3 years later, they finally opened it to try it out and found the box was stuffed with $500.
Oh! That's a good gag gift.
Yeah, that is.
But I guess you gotta be careful.
Yeah.
You know, you put in an adult toy is the gag gift and stuff it with cash.
Yeah, or somebody re-gifts it.
Right.
A gumball machine was one of the weirdest gifts. A red glass ashtray that looked like a vagina. Put that out there on display. A large dictionary. Half a dozen engraved and embroidered gifts with the groom's name misspelled.
Oh, no.
They had Mark with a K instead of Mark with a C. And a ceramic bust of the Virgin Mary that plugged in. The ceramic lamp of Jesus' mom included a blue robe covering her hair and her hands in prayer formation with a rosary between them.
What did it do when you plugged it in?
I don't know. I guess it lit up.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay if you know that they're very religious.
Right, yeah.
That's one thing. But you show up at my wedding with that gift.
Yeah.
Going in the shed.
I'll give you like a Corona umbrella and you'd be...
I'd be happy.
Thrilled, I'm sure.
The only thing I remember gift-wise from our wedding, and I don't really know this guy anymore, but I always wanted to question him if it was a mistake. We opened his card and there was nothing in it.
Oh.
It was empty. They had signed it.
Right.
So I have wondered forever, did he just forget to put the cash in?
Yeah.
Did one of them, him and his girlfriend at the time, one of them was responsible for it?
Or was his presence enough?
Maybe. He certainly worked my bar, I know that. He's on the line, the godfather of the grill, Ted Reeder. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Craig. Good morning, Lucky.
Morning, Ted, in the sunshine. How are you?
I can't complain, Yeah, we're counting down the days, man. Counting down this Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Friday, May 10th. That's when we're going to open the joint.
This is a great time of year. One, the Leafs are out. That's perfect. And two, the joint opens on Friday. And
outstanding game on Saturday night.
Who cares? They're done, and I'm happy. Now let the firing begin. So So what can we expect? I know every year, and I say this every year about the joint, one of my favorite things to do, the lovely Marie and I love to come up on a Friday evening. You got the music on. You got live music there on the patio. It's a great way to start off the weekend. It's such a cool, great vibe at the joint. Food's going, the barbecues, the fire pit's up, pizzas are cooking. It's great. Are we looking forward to that same type of experience this summer?
Yes, yes. Live music's going to start, though, just after the 1st of June in that month. Mm-hmm. And but we do have some new things happening at the joint this year. We've added a new pizza oven, but it's not for pizza. We are doing wood-fired nachos.
Tell us about this.
Yeah, yeah. Wood-fired nachos, and they'll be our plain version, simple, which is never simple. It's always complicated with me. And then you can get a chicken nachos and you can get a brisket nachos. So those are coming, all wood-fired. New pizza addition to the menu this year. A lot of Italians will be upset because it's got some fire-roasted pineapple on it. And
this is the Pritchard, right? Is this the Pritchard?
This is the Pritchard. This is the Pritchard pizza. Ham kielbasa and rum-soaked fire-roasted pineapple.
Wow.
Yeah, pizza. That's being added in there.
That's good.
Just a few other little things, rocking and rolling. Live fire barbecue, tasty brisket. Super, super tasty brisket.
Teddy, I'm not sure we're allowed to talk about it, but I'm going to anyway because it's our show and it's our thing because we're going to be hanging out at the joint this summer with a little chance for rock listeners to join us, Craig and Lucky, and wine and dine. And we're going to have afternoons up at the joint and play a little round at El Dorado. And listeners, welcome to join us on a nice, sunny, beautiful Friday afternoon, and we'll even have an opportunity throughout the summer to win their way in.
And it's a guarantee that I'll be the one doing the whining.
All the way through.
Yeah, all the way through.
Nine and dine, and then there's going to be Craig over in the corner whining away.
Now, the other thing we should mention about you and the joint and things you've got on the go is you were very kind to share with us some new food that you're stewing up there at the joint. Can we talk about this? Is this okay to mention?
Prepared foods out of our freezer case.
You gave us a shepherd's pie with brisket and a lasagna with brisket and a straight up mac and cheese with hickory sticks. Mm-hmm. The three containers. I needed a forklift to get it out of the joint and into my car. Lucky took his home. I took mine home. I haven't tried it yet. We're going to do the shepherd's pie tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that. Lucky just shocked the poop out of me when he said they ate all three.
It was downed like them all.
12 pounds of food.
They were so good.
Oh, my gosh. And it's not like it's four adults in that house. It's two adults and two kids.
Listen, my kids, I've said, they eat like birds. I just don't know if it's a chickadee or a hawk showing up. And with that stuff, as soon as I said it's Ted Reeder brisket, boom, they were into it. And like vultures down in it. Fantastic. And this, I mean, normally, Teddy, when I think of take and bake with you, it's a completely different type of thing. But this is what you're coming up with, some prepared meals that you can take home out of the freezer and cook when you need them, right?
That's it. We're still tweaking the recipes, but we do have one of the items is a brisket shepherd's pie, loaded with our smoked brisket and our gravy in there, our poutine gravy, a little beer barbecue gravy that goes on the meat, and then peas and carrots. You have to have peas and carrots with your shepherd's pie.
Nice and bright and fresh,
and,
by the way.
And then a nice layer of mashed potatoes on top.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful.
And then brisket lasagna. And we're doing with our house-made tomato sauce and then a bechamel in there as well and lots of cheesy goodness and layers of pasta and our tender smoked brisket. And then the mac and cheese. And so we tested the plain one that I gave you guys a sample. And then I did another version up the other day that had our new bone dust sauce. smoked sausage in it.
Oh,
very good.
Great thing about smoked sausage coming down the pipeline, too.
Okay.
Great thing, too, about these is they're super frozen. So you were there's some tips to how to cook them. But the great thing about them being so super frozen is, say you're heading to the cottage or you're going to somebody's house or you're visiting somebody over the weekend in the summer, or you got a long weekend party at your place. It's great food to put out for guests.
Thank you. Yeah, we want to offer a few little things to take away for the weekend and have some fun during the week and make your life a little bit easier with some homemade tasty foods by Beautiful. Me, Ted Reeder, and my gang.
Yeah, no, for sure. And now Lucky needs, if you know a plumber, he needs a help. He's trying to, a plumber or a proctologist, because he's trying to pass 12 pounds of food.
It all came out in tears on Saturday night with the Leaf game anyway. It's all fine. But it was the perfect setting because, yeah, you pop them in the oven for an hour and they were hot and ready for the game time. It was beautiful. Perfect.
Excellent, Teddy. All right. People want to talk to you about the joint and the opening this Friday. How do they get a hold of you, pal?
You're going to find me in social media at Ted Grills.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.